Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated July 9th through 15th, 2020. News: DeWitt County woman hospitalized with COVID is improving, by Steve Hoffman, July 15th. DeWitt and Piatt County are reporting no new cases of COVID-19 in the latest update from DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department Administrator David Remmert. He said on Tuesday that a DeWitt County positive case who is hospitalized has seen her condition improve. She is doing well today, Tuesday. She's been taken off the BiPAP and oxygen has been decreased. She is recovering, said Remmert. DeWitt County has registered 18 cases of COVID-19 since early April. Piatt County has had 20 people test positive over that time. The most recent testing update on July 14th. DeWitt County, 1,238 people tested, 1,220 negative, 0 pending, 18 positive, 12 of those recovered. Piatt County, 2,176 people tested, 2,156 negative, 0 pending, 20 positive, all recovered. State update. The Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, on Tuesday announced 707 new confirmed cases of coronavirus disease, COVID-19, in Illinois, including 25 additional confirmed deaths. Currently, IDPH is reporting a total of 155,506 cases, including 7,218 deaths in 102 counties in Illinois. The age of cases ranges from younger than 1 to older than 100 years. Within the past 24 hours, laboratories have reported 28,446 specimens for a total of 2,041,440. The preliminary 7-day statewide positivity for cases as a percent of total test from July 7th through July 13th is 3%. As of Monday night, 1,416 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 330 patients were in the ICU, and 126 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. St. Jude Run set for July 18th, by Steve Hoffman, July 14th. A schedule for the modified Monticello St. Jude fundraiser run has been announced. Participants will be running through these areas at the following times on Saturday, July 18th. 10 to 10:45 a.m., Apple Tree Subdivision. 11 to 11:45 a.m., Ridge Point and the surrounding area. 12 to 12:45 p.m., State Street and the Courthouse Square. 1 to 1:45 p.m., Kirby Medical Center and Walden Pond. 2 to 2:45 p.m., The Chimneys Subdivision. 3 to 3:45 p.m., Jefferson Grove Subdivision. Donations will be accepted along the way as runners raise money for St. Jude Children's Hospital. Squirt guns and sprinklers are encouraged. This year, 45 runners signed up for the event, each pledging to raise $1,000 for St. Jude. While we have had to modify and social distance while running in smaller groups, we are still putting on a great event and raising money for the kids and families of St. Jude, said run organizer Tricia Shaw. Donations will be accepted at a home base from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Forest Preserve Park in Monticello. The Weenie Wagon will be there and donate 10% of sales to the fundraiser. Students ready to use new spaces at Monticello High School, by Clara Rudolph, The Journal Republican, July 14th. Returning to school is a time for new beginnings, new classes, new teachers, new opportunities, and for some, new renovations. Monticello High School has been undergoing changes throughout the past school year and over the summer, slowly making its way toward new goals. The renovations include a new gymnasium, a new auditorium, and a whole new wing of classrooms. The final result will be more modern and well-equipped with air conditioning, a vital factor not found in the original structure. Upgrading the classrooms is really important, shared Rennie Fultz, a student at MHS. I know that all students have a hard time focusing in extreme heat. The renovations will definitely help raise the quality of education that each student is receiving. The new classrooms will replace the portables that were used during the 2019-2020 school year. To be honest, the portables were better than some of the classes not under construction, Fultz admitted. The best part was the air conditioning. However, it was difficult to walk outside when it was raining or snowing. She referred to the location of the rooms, slightly left of the main entrance. Sometimes the steps were icy, and it would be quite chaotic trying to get up them during the passing periods. The departure of the portables hasn't caused any tears, especially in the shadow of anticipation. Personally, I'm looking forward to getting used to the new gym, said Fultz, a varsity volleyball player. I'm hoping it will bring in new sports fans, and getting to practice in AC will be greatly appreciated. I am super thrilled to be a part of the first team to play in the new gym, she continued. I feel that it will create great energy within each player. I am excited about having more space for practices and a beautiful home court to play on. Claire Keating, a senior at MHS, chipped in. The new gym is a great addition to our new school. Keating took part in MHS's 2020 spring musical, Mamma Mia. For 2 years, she performed in the old auditorium. This year, she was a part of the first performance to ever occur on the new stage. Experiencing both auditoriums, Keating is a first-hand witness to the stunning transformation. The biggest issues with the old auditorium were the lack of stage space and the creaky floorboards, Keating remarked. Performing in the new auditorium was amazing. It enhanced everything about the show. I'm excited for more shows in our new space. As a senior, Keating's been around MHS to see the original classrooms, the portables, and she'll witness the new rooms as well. I think it will be exciting to have a change this year. I will miss the old routine of going to their classrooms every day, though. It's weird to think that all of their posters and decorations will be moved, she said. Keating is ready for the out with the old and in with the new transition at MHS. I didn't enjoy the close proximity of the four classes in the portables. We could sometimes hear others, she mentioned. To be honest, I'm looking forward to the new science labs. I think this will spark new ideas about experiments in science classes. I can't wait to see the finished product. Those leading the MHS basketball program sport excellence and longevity. By Jason Brown, The Journal Republican, July 14th. From the 1953-54 season to now, the Monticello boys basketball program has had only four head coaches. That's right, only four coaches in a span of 66 years. Those coaches include Tom Young, Bob Trimble, Randy Moss, and current coach Kevin Roy. From interviews with three of those coaches, the thematic upshot for this stunning stretch of coaching includes a strong community, good players, a family environment, and a continued love for the game of basketball. Starting with current coach Roy and moving backwards, each coach discusses their coaching stretch and what it means to have coaching consistency in a sports program. Kevin Roy, community and family. When Roy and his wife moved to Monticello 22 years ago, they had a 3 to 5 year plan. Then they wanted to move on. But 22 years later, they're still here. We just couldn't leave, Roy said. It's just that good of a place to be. When you have kids and they start getting into the school system and you see the benefits, it's hard to leave. Monticello is just a great community, a great school district, and a place where teachers want to be, and it's a great place to raise a family. Roy has been at the helm of the boys' varsity team for 13 years and has an overall record of 250-117. As head coach, his teams have won 7 regional titles, 2 sectional titles, and made a state appearance. Before taking over the position, Roy had been coaching the freshman team for 2 years. When Randy Moss was promoted to athletic director and assistant principal, Roy took over the varsity coaching position. Good players. One reason Roy has had such success has been the stability in the program and the athletes he's had as players and assistant coaches. I've been really blessed to have good players, Roy said. They're coachable. They work hard, and of course, I've had some really good talent. That always helps. Roy admits he's been fortunate to have former players return as assistant coaches. His players share the same ideas and philosophies, but he's also able to learn from them. Roy's teams have a defensive-first mentality, and that's what he emphasizes, starting on the freshman level. One of his favorite sayings is, "If you don't plan on playing defense, don't plan on playing." It's a mindset, and it's all the way through the program, Roy said. They, former player as assistant coaches, just carry so much more pride and enthusiasm and excitement for the program after they've experienced it. I've been blessed to have had great guys around me at each level, freshman and JV and down to middle school. To add to the stability point, Roy also has good coaches that really volunteer down at the 4th and 5th and 6th grade travel teams. In addition, the junior high basketball coach has been coaching about as long as Roy has. It's really about the development of the student athletes, he said. When our players come in as freshmen, our goal is to teach them, get them prepared for the next level, so they're ready to step into that JV position. And then from JV, we're going to get them prepared for the varsity position. Some players will advance a little bit quicker than others, but for the most part, we like to have those 4 or 5 seniors, if possible, in their senior year. Even though Roy's coaching style has adjusted over the years, his goal is to reload every year instead of having to rebuild every 3 or 4 years. One of my coaches at one point said, "We just need to do a better job of teaching them," Roy said, and I really took that to heart. I tried to become better preparing, better teaching at what we wanted to do, and better evaluate how we were doing things. His former players, who are now coaches, have recognized Roy is not the same coach he was in temperament and how he approaches situations, but he enjoys the process. "I think one of the best things I've learned is how to listen more," he said. "As a young coach, you kind of act like you know it all. You think you know it all. But as you go and experience, you don't. So I think listening is probably the biggest thing I've learned throughout the process." Roy has many great memories over the years, and he's determined to create more. Some of those include a special first team. Roy had a team with depth and athleticism that fit his coaching style at the time. "At that point in my coaching career, I was a lot of run and gun and a lot of pressure, and they really fit that style of play," he said. They ended up being a Sweet 16 team in a 2-class system. Of course, Johnny Dawson's buzzer beater to send the Sages to state is at the top of his list as well. Somebody mentioned that it's probably the biggest shot in Monticello history program, Roy said, and I would probably agree with that. Randy Moss, community and family. Roy took over for Randy Moss, who coached the Sages for 12 years, from 1994-95 season to 2005-06, with an overall record of 198-145, including 4 regional titles and 1 sectional title. Before taking the position, Moss was an athletic director at Niantic Harristown, and Bob Trimble was coach and athletic director for the Sages. 2 years prior to Bob Trimble retiring, he told me he was going to retire, Moss said. He and I became pretty good friends, back and forth talking, especially in track, because he was the track coach and I was the track coach. So when he left, I applied for the job, and fortunately, I was able to land it. Moss thought the transition would be a good fit for his family. After 8 years in Niantic, Harristown, Moss finished up his career in Monticello 22 years later. Moss had 3 daughters, graduated from Monticello High School. "I think that type of stability, that you have coaches there for a while, the student coaches basically embrace what you're teaching and take that all in, and I think that helps to have a good program," Moss said. "The kids are used to what's going on. It's not that you have turnover every 3 or 4 years where you have somebody different come in as your head coach. We had such good structure throughout the program." Moss also contributed his players with his success. "Whenever you have coaches hanging around that long, I think it's good for the program in the long term, just for the simple fact that student athletes know exactly what's expected of them," he said, "and they perform well in those situations." Moss believes summer camps and other youth outreach also help build stability and enthusiasm in the program. For all 4 coaches, each varsity player has been around that coaching system since being aware of basketball. Most fans will remember Moss's 2002-2003 season when his team won a sectional title. The team finished 28-4. What was neat about them was that there were six seniors, and we didn't have anybody who averaged double-digit figures, he said. All six of them averaged 9 points per game. They really did a good job as a team. There was no standout player. That was a special thing, just because of the fact that they were playing as a team and there was no superstar. Bob Trimble, community and family. Moss took over from Bob Trimble, who coached the Sages for 22 years, 1972-73 season to 1993-94, and finished with an overall record of 383-201, including seven regional titles and a sectional title. For Trimble, the consistency of coaching means that Monticello is a good school system. It's a place where we, all of the coaches, had families, Trimble said. I had a family, and I wanted to raise it in Monticello, and I wasn't looking to go somewhere else. Before taking the position, Trimble had been the assistant varsity coach in Tuscola. Trimble was satisfied at Tuscola, but he also wanted to become a head coach, so he moved to Monticello and took over the position. 22 seasons later, he retired early at the age of 51. Trimble owns a hardwood tree farm about 12 miles east of Tuscola, where he grew up. He started the tree farm before coming to Monticello. As with the other coaches, Trimble credited his players for much of his success and said he was fortunate to have good players while at Monticello. Over the years, Trimble tried to play who he thought were his most talented players, and he didn't care whether they were freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior. In the 1976-77 season, Trimble guided his team to a sectional championship and finished with a 22-7 record. The Sages lost to Mount Pulaski in the Super Section. Tom Young. Tom Young coached Monticello from the 1953-54 season to the 1971-72 season. In those 19 years, he had an overall record of 336-157. His team's best season record was in the 1965-66 season, when the Sages were 26-1. Though Young has passed away, Coach Roy did receive a note from the Young family after making it to the state tournament. I got an email from the Young family that mentioned just kind of what it meant to them and how Tom would have been so proud and excited for the program, Roy said. That was a great memory and a great email I received that I still have to this day. That's how much it means to me, and that also shows what it means to them and the community as well. Obituaries. Effie Mae Brown passed away peacefully on Saturday, July 11th, at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello at the age of 93. A visitation will be held on Friday, July 17th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials may be made to the Piatt County Nursing Home. Max E. Heacock, 72, of Monticello, passed away July 11th at Carl Hospital, Urbana. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, July 25th, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home, Monticello. Private family service will be held. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to the Wounded Warrior Project or the National Stroke Association. Janet Baumhart passed away peacefully on Thursday, July 9th, at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. She was 91 years old. There will be a private family ceremony in her remembrance at a later date. Memorials may be made in Janet's name to the Halcyon Unit of the Piatt County Nursing Home or a charity of choice. As time goes by, week of July 15th, 2020. July 15th. 100 years ago, the International Order of Odd Fellows, IOOF, at its regular meeting installed the following 14 officers. Deputy Grand Master Frank Bentley of Bement was the installing officer. Officers named include J.E. Hall, W.V. Gray, W.A. Medaris, Fenton Tippett, C.A. Milligan, A.J. Baines, L.J. Peck, Warren Milligan, U.A. Davis, C.Y. Robinson, W.A. Knott, T.E. Tull, Webster Plimpton, and Oscar Davidson. Bement is now planning for a big homecoming and picnic to be held sometime this fall. No date has been set, but it will be quite soon. enough money has already been raised by the solicitors to assure good attractions. Centerville will hold its annual Sunday school and community picnic Saturday, July 17th, at the Evans Timber near the Mounts Bridge, 2 miles northeast of Centerville. Old neighbors and friends are cordially invited to bring dinner and come and spend the day. Mrs. Clint Harper, superintendent. The Monticello High School 1920 annuals are off the Monticello Bulletin Printing Press and are being distributed to those who subscribed for them. They have proven once again to be a fine piece of publishing. The Monticello Country Club held their dance on Saturday evening in Kratz Hall on Monticello Square. It was to have been held at the fairground brick pavilion completed last year in Forest Preserve Park, but the rain interfered. Prospective lawyer Burl Eady of Monticello is taking the bar examination in Chicago this week. The Mutual Association is offering attractive programs for the five-day Chautauqua beginning August 24th in the Shady Nook area of Piatt County. Compiled by Roger L. Weisgarver. 75 years ago, Leo Sellers Rushville has been named principal of Mansfield Community High School. The Illinois peach crop is making excellent progress relative to sizing and quality. Alberta's will start moving the first few days of August. Production is estimated at 2,500,000 bushels. Summer apple production will be better than 1944. The outlook for pears is for another small crop. Spring frost reduced grape prospects. The Cisco Library has been repainted and redecorated. Ira Munson of Monticello, who has been in the automobile repair and garage business since 1922, has sold his business at the corner of Livingston and Market Street to Edgar Hinton, Monticello, who took possession July 17th. Thelma and Nell Alexander and Lyle and Richard Alexander are attending youth camp at East Bay, Bloomington, this week. Russell Howland, 14, is in Kirby Hospital, recovering from injuries received when he stepped in front of a car as he was crossing the street. He suffered a fractured left leg and bruises. Lois Lilly has been employed to teach fifth grade at Washington School. 141 Piatt County soldiers have received their discharges and have been recorded in the records of the circuit clerk's office. Compiled by Kay Gilbreth. 50 years ago, the City Council Tuesday night received bids on a water improvement project for Front Street, hired a director of public works for the city, and selected a new firm to audit the water department books. William A. Coleman of Glenwood was employed to be director of public works at a salary of $9,600, and he will replace Lyle Yockey, who will direct operations at the city's new landfill. The Carson and Barnes five-ring wild animal circus is coming to Monticello on Sunday, August 23rd, and will present two performances at 2:30 and 6 p.m. at the Kratz Farm, located south of the high school. The average beginning salary for College of Agriculture graduates of the U of I at Champaign-Urbana was $8,335 this year. Assistant Dean Warren Wessel said the salary range reported was from $7,000 to $10,000 per year. Compiled by Jack Stiverson. 25 years ago, water and power usage reached record levels as the temperatures climbed into triple digits last week. Ron Ival, Monticello City Superintendent, said Water Works had pumped over 1 million gallons of water per day, which is 300 to 400,000 more than a normal day. Illinois Power also reported record usage of 4,550 kilowatts, compared to the usual 3,000. Kevin Gosta, son of Mark and Betty Gosta of Cerro Gordo, won a Grand Champion ribbon for his entries in the Hobby and Education Department, and Scott Fleener of Hammond took Grand Champion honors in the Agriculture Department with his display of vegetables at the Piatt County Junior Fair. Lindsley's Red Fox advertises half-smoked ham for 69 cents a pound and charcoal steaks for $1.59 a pound. Callie Redshaw was the winner of the 14-18 division in showmanship at Halter in the Trail Blazers annual 4-H and Open Horse Show. Friends of the 4-H and Extension are sponsoring a Kiss the Pig contest. Candidates are Champaign County Fair Queen Toby Henderson, WCIA weather broadcaster Judy Frazier, WDWS radio announcer Stevie J, WIXY radio announcer C.P. Marsh, and Champaign County Sheriff Dave Madigan. Vote by placing money in the jar of your favorite candidate. Compiled by Deanna O'Reilly. As Time Goes By is researched and provided by the Piatt County Historical and Genealogical Society. Summer Journal, Still Careful But Emerging from COVID, by Clara Rudolph, The Journal Republican, July 15th. Monday, July 6th. The pestering heat has yet to leave. I spent a good chunk of the weekend sitting on hot metal bleachers and watching baseball games. It's that time of year where runs have to be pushed early into the morning to escape the weather. Sleeping in no longer exists. I forget about how backwards the summer baseball schedule can be. The whole week is slow moving and steady, and then the weekend is filled with tournaments that last all day. It's the only part of the year where the weekends are busier than the actual weekdays. The opportunity for sports is definitely looking good right now. I know that both basketball and volleyball teams are having open gyms. Cheerleading tryouts are being scheduled, and of course, cross country can meet in larger groups now. I think that football is meeting in small groups as well. The stage is set for sports seasons to take place. Tuesday, July 7th. Today, my mom took me and some of my younger siblings to Champaign. We all got to watch as Karenna got her ears pierced. She was bouncing with excitement all day, and we couldn't help but be excited for her. I remember when I got my ears pierced. I was 8 at the time. I wanted it unquestionably, but I was also super nervous, thanks to my older brother. He told me that it would be so painful and that a giant gun would shoot holes in my ears. Karenna didn't have to hear any of that, thankfully. She was adorably brave the whole time, not shedding a single tear. We spent the rest of the day reminding us of how cute she looked now that her ears were pierced. We agreed. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated July 9th through July 15th, 2020. Please stay safe. I look forward to reading with you again soon.